Not going to be taking phone calls during the debate. If you want questions answered, email them to me at jmathis@wbl.com. We're going to kick things off with opening statements, which will last 2 minutes. Then I will present topics to each candidate, having a minute and a half to express their views. The first candidate that answers will be given a one-minute rebuttal. Friendly discussion. You guys have the ability to interject with one another. The purpose of this is to give the voters an opportunity to learn what both of you stand for. We had a coin toss. The senator won that, opted to go second. So, Mr. Robinson, I will give you 2 minutes for your opening statement.
Dr. Robinson, but thank you. My name's Tim Robinson. I'm running for the state senate here in District 42, and people ask all the time why I'm doing it. And I'll tell you, the reasons basically come down to being concerned about where we are headed as a state. I look at what's happened over the past 8 years. We've increased spending approximately $9.5 billion year over year from the 2007 budget. We have increased it 35%. I'm concerned about the overtaxation, the overspending, and I look at this and say basically what we need to do is figure out how to spend what we have in a better way. Like in your own household, when it gets cold, you turn down the heat, you leave it, and you put on a sweater. And I'm concerned about what's happening in medicine. I'm a physician. There are no physicians in the Maryland State Senate. There are lots of medical issues. I believe that we need somebody that understands medicine in the state Senate. In the House of Delegates, we've had Dan Morheim for years, and he's done a great job. All of the committee members that work with him look to him and defer to him on many medical issues. I also am very concerned about where we're going with schools. I think that the Common Core curriculum has been a mistake. It was forced on the people of the state and particularly Baltimore County. And we need to empower parents, and we need to empower the individual schools.
Dr. Robinson, thank you very much. State Senator Jim Brogen.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Tim, for debating. So I'm running for re-election on a record of accomplishment. I've been called Maryland's most independent senator, and despite my independence, I feel like I've gotten a lot done in 12 years. I eliminated diminution credits, which are good time credits for rapists and murderers in the state of Maryland. I have been totally devoted to public education. Helped and worked with the community to get a elementary school built at West Towson, air conditioning at Ridgely Middle, and most importantly, and what I consider one of the most important things I've done in my 12 years in the Senate, is this year I was the sponsor on a bill that got us a partially elected school board for Baltimore County. Dr. Robinson talks about Common Core, which is a huge issue. We also have a school superintendent that's run amok to the people up in the Hereford zone on making them have a mandated eight-period schedule with their high schools. We also have a situation where they put technology in the classroom, but really no debate on where that technology goes, spending $204 million, and a lot of other things that have gone wrong, I believe, in our school system with no accountability because we have a school board that's a rubber stamp. My bill that I got passed unanimously in the Senate and unanimously in the House is going to have an elected school board. So 3 years from now, seven of the 12 members are going to run from seven councilmanic districts, and we're actually going to have checks and balances in the school system. So the parents are going to pick who's on the school board rather than the politicians. But most importantly, in my 12 years, as I said, I've been a voice of independence. 38 times, actually more than 38 times, but 38 prime times, I have said no to Martin O'Malley on taxes, gas, sales, income, corporate, business, technology. I have said no to the governor on tax increases.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it. Both of you guys brought up education and Common Core. One of the questions that we received on Common Core, it's been heavily debated nationally over the last 6-7 months, embrace or dismiss. Tim, I'll start out with you.
Okay. Well, first, I'd like to real briefly touch on what Jim was saying in terms of his bill. The idea of having the hybrid school board is great, but it does have still several appointed members, and it also doesn't start until 2018. And I'm a little bit disappointed with that, and I think that that's something we still need to work on. In terms of Common Core, however, I look at this as being something where we have essentially gone all in on one idea. There is the ability to make relatively minor changes in curricula, but basically what we need to do is we need to look at various different ways of solving the problem and approaching the problem, and then being able to choose from between those various different answers. To simply say we found the right answer without actually getting out there and trying it first is, to me, much like playing poker and going all in on a pair of jacks. It's simply bluffing. And we can't do this with our children's education.
Senator?
I mean, I agree with Tim. I mean, I have a lot of similar concerns that he does on Common Core. First of all, the biggest problem is it was implemented so quickly. Teachers literally had 2 or 3 weeks' notice in the school year. I mean, you had teachers who were really, really upset about what was going on. And we fixed part of that where they're getting more notice. But at the end of the day, and as I stated before, you know, most of the ills that have happened in Baltimore County public education, in my mind, are because we have a monopoly over there. I mean, they call themselves Team BCPS, Team Baltimore County Public School System. I don't think the school board and the superintendent should be a team. I think there should be a healthy checks and balances, so they question each other, and the way Tim and I are questioning each other, and the way we question, the way voters question us, to make sure that they come out with the best product. And Common Core is a component of that. And I think you need a school board, and now 7 of those 12 members are going to be elected to provide the check against some of the abuses of Common Core.
Tim?
I think Jim, again, makes good points on this. And there are a lot of issues on which Jim and I agree. But basically what I would say when everything is said and done about this is I would ask the question as a voter, am I happy with what's happened over the last 8 years or the last 12 years, and realize that Jim Brosian is part of the problem and not part of the solution. He tells you that he's an independent conservative voter, but the record really doesn't show that.
Senator, an expansion.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah.
So first Tim agrees with me, and like he says, he agrees with me on a lot of things, but then wondering what I've done for the last 12 years. And it's a fair question. You know, for the last 12 years, I have been as, you know, one thing about the 42nd district is it is a very independent minded district. And I have been as independent as the district has. I mean, I know I had to rush it in my opening statement, but I have provided the checks that need to be provided in this fiscally. The gas tax, I voted against it. It was attached to the consumer price index, which you had mentioned in the previous hour, which is abysmal. I said no to that. I said no to the sales tax. I said no to the income tax. I said no to the corporate income tax. I voted against taxes, Martin O'Malley's taxes, so many times that I'm telling your listeners this as I've told them at their doors. I'm not going to be in leadership. I'm not going to be a chairman of a committee. I'm not going to be a vice chairman of a committee. And I sit in the back row of the Maryland Senate. And this new district was done to, you know, they think they've done it to punish me because I'm not a voice for the Democratic Party. And I'm not supposed to be.
And Dr.
Okay, I'm supposed to be independent.
And let me ask you this question. As you make your way across the 42nd district,
yeah,
in the past in Maryland, social issues have dominated much of the political conversation. What are you seeing as being the largest issue from the residents in the 42nd district?
Well, I think spending, taxes, and jobs. And I come back to spending, and I look at this. Over the last 8 years, we have had an increase of 35% in the money that we're putting out there. And Senator Brosian has voted for all 8 of the O'Malley-Brown budgets. Yeah, I think it's very disingenuous to say I voted against a tax when we all know that if we increase the budget, if we increase the spending, we have to pay for it. Jim Brosian has gotten a free pass from voting for the tax increases because they didn't need his vote. They still passed those without him.
Senator?
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the last budget, 45 out of 47 Republicans, including 45 out of 47 legislators voted for the budget, senators, including 10 of 12 Republicans. But he raises an interesting point. We have a budget in the state of Maryland, and Tim's right. I have voted for it. And I voted for it for two reasons. First of all, nobody gave me a free pass. I still voted against the tax increases, and every senator has the opportunity to do that and stand the line and say no to higher taxes. When on a budget where we don't run deficits, like this, like the federal government does, and where we fund public education, and where if you want that addition to Stoneleigh, if you want air conditioning at Ridgely Middle, if you want that addition, if you want a new elementary school at West Towson Elementary, if you want state troopers on the roads, and if you want the basic functions of running government, there's a budget. And as in my mind, as long as we don't deficit spend, and as long as I like more of it than I don't like about it, then I'm going to support it. But there are tax increases where they want to add more spending, not necessarily for those things, but for other things. And that's where I've said no. So I don't think it's disingenuous at all. It's the way the system is and the way the process works.
Mr. Robinson?
It's Dr. Robinson. But thank you. I would say once again that if you vote for the spending, you're voting for the taxes. Jim voted for the spending. It's very disingenuous. And I would say more than that, it's hypocritical to say that I'm in favor of all this increased spending, but I'm against the taxes to do it. Jim has voted for at least 30 different bills that increased taxes, fees, tolls, and surcharges.
Okay. And on the issue of taxes, one of the questions that we got, something that you're both on the record on, this ties back into taxes and the economy. One issue that you're both on the record on is with a recent tax pledge from Vinnie DeMarco. This is the pledge that would increase the Maryland tobacco tax. Again, your thoughts for support or non-supporting this pledge, Senator?
Okay, so first of all, it's not just the tobacco tax. I actually have their Healthy Maryland initiative here, and it's a tax on cigarettes and non-cigarette tobacco products. He wants to raise the tax on alcohol also. And it's interesting that Tim's talking about this because one Republican signed this. One Republican allied himself with Vinnie DeMarco, who is responsible for the Maryland Health Insurance Exchange, is the head of Handgun Control Incorporated, and wants to raise the tobacco and this and the sales tobacco tax and the alcohol tax. And it happens to be my opponent, Tim Robinson. Tim Robinson has allied himself with Vinnie DeMarco. He hasn't taken office one day. He hasn't been in office one day, and already he has a pledge. And his pledge is that when he goes into office, he's going to raise the tobacco tax and the alcohol tax.
Actually, that's true, and it's false, mostly false. My answer to that as a physician is that I believe basically that smoking is unhealthy. My actual response to Vinnie DeMarco was that I would accept the idea of an increase only in tobacco tax, but only if there were a reciprocal cut somewhere else in another tax. I believe that we have all the money that we need. I believe that we need to spend what we have, not plan out new spending, which then needs new taxes. So I have not allied myself with Vinnie DeMarco.
And I want to give Senator Broach an opportunity to respond to this, because taxes, progressive and regressive, have been a major issue during this election.
Well, I mean, first of all, his signature's right here. He's given his word, his bond.
Come on, Jim.
That's the first thing. And secondly, the place where you're short-sighted, Tim, is this, okay? Once you raise the tobacco tax, which you have pledged to do, you can say goodbye to the humidor in Cockeysville, and I've spoken to them, and another increase in the tobacco tax, you put them out of business, you put their jobs. You could say goodbye to Fader's, which are the other tobacco places. You have put people out of jobs, and the kicker is this. You haven't done it under the public health guise that you say, because the reason they're going to be out of work is because they can buy these tobacco products on the internet. That's what raising taxes is going to do here. Okay, your tax pledge to raise taxes here is incredibly short-sighted and misguided.
Doctor?
And again, I would emphasize that in no way, shape, or form do I believe that there will be a reciprocal tax to offset any tax on tobacco. So what I looked at that is essentially saying that as a physician, I'm against smoking cigarettes, but I believe that people have a right to smoke if they care to. But I explicitly said I did not back it without a reciprocal tax cut.
The next question I want to ask, gentlemen, you're both obviously running for state office here, and I'll kick this off with you, Senator. What do you believe the role of government should be at the state level?
I think government should, first of all, it's a great question. I think it's the essentials. I think it's public education, protecting the environment, and public safety. And now, whether we like it or not, we're in the healthcare arena, and we have to do that as well, as long as the law is the law. And I think those are the core things that we need to work on. The problem with the budget, and I've always said this, is it's like a hose, and you stick your thumb in the hose, and it sprays all over the place. we get involved in all these things we shouldn't be involved in spending money. Two quick things, and I've said this on your show multiple times. Selinger, aid to private colleges, $48 million a year, and Johns Hopkins gets the bulk of it, two-thirds. And we're giving aid to private colleges. If you want to send your kid to private college, that's your business. It shouldn't be government's. Secondly, the Department of Economic Development on the state level. I spoke out and got and tried to get the votes to stop a grant and a loan to the Green Turtle in Towson, to add a second floor to the Green Turtle. We shouldn't be subsidizing bars with economic development money.
Dr. Robertson?
Okay. I look at it in terms of essentially what Jim is saying. It is about education, and that's about 50% of our budget. It's also about paying for the things that we've decided that as a state that we want to do. But I think that the state essentially has overstepped its boundaries in a lot of different places. And the biggest one that I see really is regulations. We make it so difficult in this state to actually start a business, bring a business into the state, and we do that by having regulations that are Byzantine. When you talk to the people that are in charge of actually enforcing them, and I had a long conversation with a guy that was retired from food regulation, and he just said that, you know, there's so many regulations that even the inspectors can't live up to them. No matter what you do in today's world, you will find that at some point you are breaking a law or a regulation. We have too much of it.
Senator?
I think Tim's on target here. I mean, there's some regulation, except with one caveat. There are some regulations we need, and we do need, you know, things like food inspected and other places inspected. But the amount of paperwork and the amount of excess regulation and where the paperwork goes, and I've seen it firsthand in Annapolis ad nauseum, is, you know, the paperwork or is on a computer disk or it gets stored somewhere and nobody ever touches it, nobody ever looks at it. We're just justifying a bureaucracy that's out of control and it needs to be.